Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
So let's do it now. It is a great day in Atlanta. Going to be a great weekend as well. We get an Atlanta United match tomorrow, pregame at 12, right here on the game. And the match will come to you from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Atlanta United, New York City FC, the top two teams in the East table, matching up. The kick at 12:30. Conte and Longshore will be on the call here on the home of Atlanta United. And John is right. Atlanta United dominated the Atlanta Sports Awards, and it was all announced last night. They win Coach of the Year with Tata Martino. They win Player of the Year with Miggy Almiron. And they win Team of the Year, Atlanta United. And so they sweep it all, dude. And when you think about it, Atlanta United deserves that dap, okay? But, you know, you catch the Falcons in a year where they, you know, don't win the NFC. You got the Hawks in a rebuild.
Right.
You got the Braves coming out of the ashes of 3 years of muck and yuck. And obviously, you know, the Dogs had a terrific season. They could have won Team of the Year. But I think they got it right. But Atlanta United did. Like, now Falcons healthy, Braves healthy. Mm-hmm. Atlanta United, obviously great. You know, the Dogs on the precipice of a championship. So the overall health of Atlanta sports is much better now than it was last year at this time.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome to see Atlanta United in year number one. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I was skeptical when soccer came here. All right, what's this really going to be? Because I've seen in other cities, hey, we're going to have soccer and we've signed a David Beckham and it's okay. This fan base has made this a must-watch every week. Like, my mom kind of laughed at me a week ago. The Philadelphia match is on, and I've got it on TV, and we're at dinner, and I'm just glued watching to see what Atlanta United does. You know, Wednesday I didn't get a chance because we were out at our celebrity golf tournament, but I'm listening to it on the way home, trying to see what are they going to do in this U.S. Open Cup. It's become that to me. Now, will it ever, for me, surpass football? No. I keep it real. It's not going to surpass football for me. If the Falcons and Atlanta United have a game on the same day, I'm dialed in for the Falcons. If the Canes and Atlanta United have a game on the same day, I'm locked in with the Canes. I'll be looking at Atlanta United to make sure that they're winning the match. But it is pretty cool to see them dominate the Atlanta Sports Awards the way they did yesterday.
Yeah, you just brought up something. You got the wheels turning here. You guys know how I roll on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It is all NFL all the time from 1 p.m. until about 11:30 when the Sunday night football game is over, and we do have some one, two, three, four. There are four Sunday matches for Atlanta United, mm-hmm. Starting with Sunday, September 2nd. So probably a DVR scenario with
Sunday,
with all
September
that.
2nd. I'll be in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that. Then here we go, NFL season. But
well, no, that's not an NFL. That is Miami and LSU at Jerry World.
Because uh-huh.
That's Labor Day weekend. Uh-huh. There is no NFL action.
Oh, it's the NFL starts like September 9, 10, yes. 11 kind of thing.
Yep.
All right. Cool. So there are then three sort of conflicty Sunday Atlanta United games. But again, look, these games, Sunday, September 30th is a 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. Sunday, October 21st, a 3 o'clock game. And Sunday, October 28th, final game, final match of the year is against Toronto up there at 4:30. So I don't know if that syncs up with the Falcons having a 1 o'clock game, but we got to watch them all.
Here's some of the award winners. Coach of the Year for the Atlanta Sports Awards, Tata Martino from mm-hmm. Atlanta United. Collegiate Athlete of the Year, Roquan Smith. No surprise there.
Him or from, I would say.
Yeah, but Roquan.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, he Professional Athlete of the Year. And this one I found interesting because I think it was Matt Ryan, Joseph Martinez, and Miggy Almiron were the one. Miguel Almiron wins it for Atlanta United.
I think he's the best player on the team.
Me too.
You know, Joseph Martinez scores the goal. And he's great. I love Joseph. But the best soccer player on this team is Miggy Almiron. Do you agree with me?
Yes. Absolutely. And you would ask me that before the year, I would have said Joseph Martinez.
Me too.
After really dialing in, it's Miguel Almiron, what he does, his creativity, everything. Team of the Year, Atlanta United. Moment of the Year, and this one, Georgia, Alabama. Georgia, Alabama. Mercedes-Benz.
I'm kind of scrolling through my head, and I'm thinking Falcons, Eagles. That doesn't measure. I mean, it's a national championship.
It's a national title game.
I'm fine with that.
The only one to me that would have been up there would have been Georgia-Oklahoma. How unbelievable that game is. It was more positive. The bigger impact is obviously the national championship game, and love it or not, that was a tremendous football game. Lifetime Achievement Award goes to John Schuerholz, and congratulations to Ben Garland, our guy, Captain Ben, Community Spirit Award.
Oh, cool.
And Ben,
he does great work in the community.
Unbelievable. And he's a great dude. Every time I've talked to Ben Garland, I go, this is the type of guy you cheer for, and you hope that he goes on to a fruitful NFL career.
Around the 404, go Rick and John at noon every day. And let's talk about this match tomorrow, John. Atlanta United, 29 points. New York City FC, 27 points. So it is a battle for first place.
Yep.
Now, in the west side of the table, Sporting KC, who beat us, kind of, they have 28 points. So we have the most points in all of MLS, 9-3-2 on the season. Away, John, very impressively, we are 4-1-1. And let me scroll real quick. That is the best mark in all of MLS. 4-1-1 on the road. You know how huge it would be to get 3 points up there and then move to 32 points? They would remain at 27 points, and you'd have a 5-point bulge over NYCFC. Let's go get 3 tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You can win this one and then prove that you are the best team in the Eastern Conference. I know you drew earlier. And remember, that was a tremendous match that goes back and forth. Ping-pongy here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'd love to ask Jason Longshore, and if he's listening, shoot me a text, Jason. I know he normally is. What is the impact? Because I know in Yankee Stadium, it's going to be a lot more compact than the spaciousness of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Does that impact the way Atlanta United is going to play this match?
It totally is. The passing game, the hit-ahead game, the attack game, they're not going to have as much room to operate. It's going to make New York City FC kind of more easy to defend us. And it's not easy to defend us on any pitch, but it's going to be that much easier to defend us with the field shrinking. So it's an advantage for New York City FC. There's no question about it, but we still got to go up there and handle our business.
Can I just can we go to a message and just, I know it's not around the 404-ish, but it was something we were talking about in college football. What are your thoughts on North Carolina quarterbacks from last year?
Garbage.
Okay. Guy texted and said, you guys need to leave my North Carolina quarterbacks alone. Brandon Harris only played 2 games, and Miami cheap-shotted Chaz Surratt, which ruined his – Chaz Surratt or Surratt, whatever. He wasn't very good.
Mm-mm.
He was pretty mediocre.
I mean,
Matter of fact, I wanted him to stay in the game.
Love that you love your Tar Heels. Thank you for listening. I don't have any axe to grind against North Carolina. None at all.
What about Larry Fedora?
Like, I don't have any axe to grind at all. I just think that they made a terrible decision. I mean, Brandon Harris. What did he show you at LSU that would
nothing.
Make you think that he could come to your program and kick butt at quarterback? I mean, give me a break.
Nothing.
You want to talk about bad free agent decisions? That was awful. And so, get a quarterback.
Hey, let's go back and continue around the 404. Atlanta United, we're going to stay with them for a second. They will play the Chicago Fire in U.S. Open Cup round of 16. Geographically, they were in there with Nashville, Louisville, and Chicago. And it was interesting, the draw has MLS versus MLS and USL versus USL. This is a team that Atlanta United should be able to take care of.
The match up there was feisty.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very fortunate to get out of that as a United fan with 3 points. They played us really, really well, and it's probably going to be different down here at the Benz, but it might not be. Chicago, everybody rises. We've heard this from opposing teams, and whenever some of the Atlanta United players join John and Hugh in the morning, they say every time, every team we play gives us their best shot because Atlanta United is that team. And there are some teams and players that look at them like, yo, they're number one, so we just got to bring it. We got to take out number one. But there are other teams and players and coaches that look at them like, how dare you come in here and steal all the shine from all of us other teams that have been here for 2 decades.
Right.
So no matter what, you always get the best punch as Atlanta United. But, John, isn't that what you want? Don't you want to be the
Absolutely.
Big boy? Don't you want to be the hunted that everybody's coming after?
Absolutely. What's interesting there with this matchup against Chicago, and it's going to go down June the 20th, I believe, will be the match. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore will be on the call right
Wednesday,
here
June 20.
From Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What's interesting to that one is the fact that you are playing a team that you played earlier this year. And I believe this is going to be the first U.S. Open Cup game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Cool.
So how awesome is that?
Oh, so they played a McKenna Saw last year, huh?
believe so. Or were they even on the road for one of them last year?
I don't know. Maybe.
They played Miami on the road. I could be wrong, but I thought they played Miami a year ago on the road.
Hit us up on Human Google.
Yeah. Get that chance to have it here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Are they going to open that up for all 70 grand?
Which game? With the Chicago Fire? Nah.
I don't think
U.S. Open Cup is a 70,000 pluser. I just don't. I'm not throwing any shade at all. You asked me, and that's my opinion. I think this will be the normal crowd setup.
They're in the Mideast region we talked about with Louisville City, Nashville. The winner of Atlanta-Chicago will then host the quarterfinal, tentatively slated for July 18th.
Talk to me about, we were kind of wondering, why 12:30? I mean, that time stinks. How many of you are going to be mowing the grass at a baseball game, doing Saturday stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Bed Bath & Beyond, if you have the time, all that jazz.
Yeah, it's never enough time for
12:30, buzzkill. So I can promise you right now, I will not be watching this match live. It sucks. But my boys, it's going to be my first day with them for like 2 months. I can't say, oh, by the way, I got to go watch a soccer match. That is not going to work with
my
boys.
They wouldn't get into it with you?
So, well, they're going to want to be in the water, playing basketball, be on the jet ski, all that kind of stuff. They're not going to want to sit in and watch a soccer match. Now, at night, I'm going to watch that baby off DVR.
Okay.
So please don't text me with the results, people that know me.
Let's give away $1,000, Mark.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Retro, R-E-T-R-O, Retro to 72881. Again, Retro, your code word, 72881 is the number you'll text to. It's your chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Do you have any Retro Jordans at home?
No, I have like new Jordans. I have one pair of Jordans, by the way, so it's not even plural. But I know this, Preacher Man's iPod is very retro with the music that we're hearing today. So, retro.
You also have a lot of retro baseball cards sitting over there, which you're missing a couple of pages because I've taken them.
Not rutro,
no,
but retro.
Yeah, I guess Preacher Man's iPod is more retro than it is metro.
Very good point by you. And nothing more needs to be said about that. So John's right. The last 2 days I have brought me and my brother back in the day. We used to stalk baseball players. Okay. We were in Minneapolis, you know, home of the Twins. Mm-hmm. So when the Twins were in town, we would go to hotels. We would stand outside the stadium after the game and get baseball cards signed. Just kind of what we did. We were 11, 12, 13 years old, just young bucks. And I brought those albums in with signed cards the last couple of days for John to look at it and Grant to look at it. So we've been kind of having fun going back.
You have some cool stuff over there.
Thank you. Like Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, Gary Carter, you know, guys from like 75 to 85. Cal Ripken, Kent Herbeck, all those guys.
Yeah, it's a really cool collection. I don't know how you got all of this stuff, but you and your brother.
We just stalked ball players. I'll tell you a quick story. Reggie Jackson coming through one time. I think he was with the Angels. And Reggie, like, he wasn't a bad guy, but he didn't want to be bothered.
Right.
Okay, he was just that dude, superstar guy. So there was one time, and he signed for us, but there was one time he just didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was there because it was late at night and we were young. She had to be there. She followed Reggie Jackson with our cards, and she said, look, we've been here for like 2 hours waiting on you. They want your autograph really badly. And he hemmed and hawed, and she pressed, and he signed the cards for us.
Cool. So mom was a G.
So mom was a G, and she helped us get Reggie Jackson's autograph. And he ended up being really nice to her, and she sort of just like, I don't know, melted him, for lack of a better word, in a good way.
Would you say Steve Spurrier is a G?
Yes. Full G status.
Do you think that he is somebody that maybe harbors a little bit of disdain towards the Georgia program?
Before you say what he said, I want to say this about Steve Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
His last dying breath, and may he live many, many more years. We all love Steve Spurrier. But on his last dying breath, he's going to take a shot at UGA.
I think he will. Well, he was talking to ESPN Upstate. He said, if talking mattered, Georgia would have beat us a lot more.
Three pots and you're finished.
Yes.
If talking mattered,
that's shady.
Georgia would have beaten us a lot more.
Real shady.
He was 16-7.
Real shady.
16-7 against the Dogs. 11-1 while he was at Florida.
So in other words, what he's saying is all the talk, all the hype about Georgia, because a lot of years, John, I'm guessing that Georgia went into those Florida games as the favorite, mm-hmm. maybe the hyped team, maybe the it team. And, you know, some of the years. And Steve Spurrier probably didn't like hearing all that kind of stuff. And then Florida would maybe go out and beat Georgia, and so thus you have the smack talk.
This is a guy who also famously said, I sort of always like playing Georgia in that second game because you can always count on them having two or three guys suspended. He wasn't really wrong about that. That was the problem.
I'm telling you right now. He is one of the keep it realist coaches of all time. Long live Steve Spurrier, man. I'm telling you. So he's going to be one of the coaches in the Alliance of American Football.
He's going to be on the Orlando franchise.
How about that? Is he still an ambassador for the Florida Gators?
Sure.
Which means
you know who he's not
he's
an
stealing
ambassador?
Paychecks from the Florida Gators. That's what that means.
You know who he's not an ambassador for? Daniel Snyder of the Washington Redskins.
You got that right.
Boy, that ended like a dumpster fire.
But Steve Spurrier stole a whole bunch of money from owner Snyder.
That he did.
He did. Remember, he went there. I remember covering the NFL at the time, and the whole thing with Spurrier was everybody's like, man, he's not ready for the NFL lifestyle where you live at the facility, like literally live at right. the facility. And he's like, oh, I'll be fine. You know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to shoot a little golf, and we're going to practice, you know, throw the ball around a little bit, and, you know, we'll be fine. Well, they weren't fine.
No.
Okay, you need to put in like an 18-hour per day investment, and Spurrier was like, you know, I'm just going to go out there and swing sticks a little bit, and we'll practice, throw the ball around, and you know, we'll be fine.
Yeah, they weren't fine. When I saw in preseason he was trotting out Danny Werfel like that was going to work.
Yep.
No, Danny Werfel knew your offense, and tossing it up to Jaquez Green and Reed L. Anthony and all of those guys, that worked at Florida when they were 20 yards in the clear. It didn't work so well. In Washington with old soft-toss Danny Werfel.
Super quick point I want to make about Calvin Ridley. You know I love it when our ball players are called freak.
Uh-huh.
Well, the wide receiver coach for our Falcons has called him freakish.
Okay.
Not a raw talent,
no.
John, but freakish.
Okay. Terrell Owens was freakish, and we didn't get into this yesterday. Is he wrong for telling the Hall of Fame, I'm good? Do you like this song?
It's no right comment.
A place where we can dance the whole night away underneath the electric stars. Just come with me and we can shake it loose right away.
All right, let's talk about Terrell Owens, or Terrell Owens as he is known, in our NFL Bounce here with Rick Hamlin and John Michaels from the Kia Studios here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And first, John, let's opine about Terrell Owens' decision mm-hmm. not to go to the Hall of Fame for the induction ceremony and speak and the whole thing. Let's first talk about that. And then let's figure out if Terrell Owens is on both of our Mount Rushmores of wide receivers. And based on the research that I've just done, there are three obvious choices. And there is going to be a healthy debate mm-hmm. about who the fourth guy should be on the Mount Rushmore of all-time NFL wide receivers. First of all, Terrell Owens declining the invite. I'm fine with it.
Me too.
I'm fine with it because, first of all, I respect the man and his wishes, okay? He should not have had to wait 3 years to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think it was BS that he had to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you want to say he's being petty and he's in his feelings and it's kind of a na-na-na-na-na thing, that's fine. You're probably right. But I think he's warranted in doing that. I think it was petty as heck to keep him out of the Hall of Fame for the first 2 years on the ballot. And so I'm fine with him sort of playing the petty card in return. T.O., you do you.
Here's what I'll say about this. It's his day. However he chooses to spend it is up to him. I remember people used to get up in arms when draft choices didn't want to be in New York and back then it was only in New York, to be part of the draft. It's their day. If they want to spend it with family, so be it. For Terrell Owens, what he's doing is saying, to all you in the media, and for all of you that voted and made me wait, now I'm not going to give you the pleasure of standing in front of you and giving you a speech. They're still going to make a bust. They're still going to give him his gold jacket. He's still going to get his Hall of Fame ring. He just won't be there. I don't have an issue with it. You don't want to show up for your Hall of Fame induction? That's up to you. Now, would I be there? Absolutely. I'd be up there blubbering and stuttering and stammering like a complete idiot because I'm going into the Hall of Fame. If I'm ever blessed enough one day to go into a radio Hall of Fame, if there's even one of those, and I probably won't. Paul said, no, you're not going to be there.
There's a Georgia Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm not Western.
Ryan Cameron,
I'm not
Steve
Ryan
Holman.
Cameron. Yeah, I'm not those guys.
All those guys are in there.
Maybe 10, 15 years from now, I will be one of those guys. And if I go in, I'll be there with my family, with a suit on. Freshly, not clean shaven, because I just don't do the clean shaven thing. But I'll look nice. But if T.O. decides to do his own thing and not be there, so be it. He should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, bar none.
Yep.
The Hall of Fame is set for what you do on the field, not how you treated the media doing sit-ups in your driveway. Nobody should care about that.
All right, let's talk Mount Rushmore. Let me break it down here while John puts the screws to some of the stats himself. The Mount Rushmore of NFL wide receivers begins and ends with Jerry Rice.
Of course.
First all-time in touchdowns, first all-time in yards, first all-time in catches.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss is on the Mount Rushmore of wide receivers.
Agree.
Second in touchdowns, fourth in yards, 15th in receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Owens is a no-brainer. Am I getting any resistance here?
No.
Okay. Terrell Owens, third all-time in touchdowns. Get this. Second all-time in yards.
He'll be third.
Receiving
after,
yards.
He'll be third after this year.
And eighth in receptions. And so, T.O., third in TDs, second in yards, eighth in receptions.
Mm-hmm.
All-time. First ballot Hall of Famer. And he has a right not to go to the Hall of Fame. T.O., I'm fine with you. So now, I have come up with three guys, John,
mm-hmm.
for the fourth member of mine and yours, Mount Rushmore of NFL wide receivers.
Okay.
To me, it condenses to Marvin Harrison,
mm-hmm.
Larry Fitzgerald, and Chris Carter.
Okay.
CeCe. Marvin Harrison, let me just give you the numbers. Fifth all-time in touchdowns, ninth all-time in yards, fifth all-time in receptions. Larry Fitzgerald, who's coming back for one more. Eighth all-time in touchdowns, third all-time in yards,
mm-hmm.
and third all-time in receptions.
Right.
And Chris Carter, fourth all-time in touchdowns, because that's all he did, 13th in yards, and sixth in receptions. I'll let you swing first. Who is fourth on your Mount Rushmore of wide receivers?
It's hard to go away from Larry Fitzgerald, who by the end of this year will be second all-time in receiving yards. He'll be close. I don't think he'll get over 100 catches, which is what he would need to pass Tony Gonzalez to go second all-time in receptions. I'd probably go Larry Fitzgerald, but I'm going to throw a couple other names out there to you that probably don't get the recognition because just numbers aren't there. They played in a different era. Steve Largent for the Seattle Seahawks is one of the great receivers. This guy was the all-time leading receiving yardage guy, I believe, when he retired. And then, of course, the game has changed and a lot of people have passed him by. So people don't think about Steve Largent being one of the all-time greats. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, if his career's not cut short by the turf in Philadelphia, he's a hell of a lot higher up the list than he is right now. Tim Brown of the Raiders, and nobody ever gives Tim Brown the credit that he's due. 1,094 catches, a ton of yards, a ton of touchdowns as well. Art Monk, another guy that got held out of the Hall of Fame, I think, a little bit too long, is in the discussion. Torrey Holt, now he may have been helped because he had Isaac Bruce on the other side, and Andre Johnson. I take all of those guys. I still have Fitzgerald right now as my four. It'd be Rice, Moss, T.O., and Fitzgerald. But those other guys all have to be in consideration for what they've done.
I was hoping we would disagree here, but I kind of added up like this. So Marvin Harrison, fifth in touchdowns, ninth in yards, fifth in receptions. You added up, that's 19.
Mm-hmm.
But with Fitz, it's eighth in TDs, third in yards, third in receptions. You added up, that's 14. So in terms of you want to have the smallest number when you look
right.
at these three major stats, and then Chris Carter is 23. He's four in touchdowns, 13 in yards, and six in receptions. So mm-hmm. I think Larry Fitzgerald, that's why I wanted to do this, because I didn't know who that fourth guy was. I didn't, going into the research. And now I thought Fitz might be, Marv might be, Tim Brown might be. But it's Larry Fitzgerald, bro, because this guy's heart is still beating, and he's eighth, third, and third right now in touchdown yards and catches. Amazing.
Can't forget about Steve Smith, and I know a lot of people couldn't. He was a pain in the...
What
a pain.
Love Steve Smith.
Steve Smith played his rear end off.
And he told you about it.
Yeah, and he told
every
you.
Every time.
That guy had 14,731 yards receiving. And again, it's tougher now because the numbers are skewed after you get to about 1995. 95 on, maybe even 1990 on, the league became a full passing league. And that's why I wanted to give credit to Steve Largent. He retired in 1989. He had 13,089 yards. Retired again in 1989. Everybody above him started their career while Steve Largent was already playing. A lot of them didn't start until after he had already retired. So that'll tell you how great Steve Largent was as a receiver. Just never got the credit that he was. He played in Seattle, for goodness sakes.
He did. And let's move on here in our NFL bounce. You guys can play the game yourselves. Maybe you agree with us that it's Fitz. Touched briefly on this yesterday because the news came out right at the end of our show that Julian Edelman is facing a four-game suspension for PED use. And they're appealing it, of course, and hopefully that does not drag on all damn year. But this is what Alex Guerrero had to say, the TB12 trainer, Tom Brady's famous trainer, who is sort of in the middle of Brady and Belichick. He said of Julian, "I've known Julian since his rookie year, and he's a phenomenal athlete who takes training seriously. It's disappointing to hear today's news. Elite athletes sometimes work with multiple coaches and health professionals as part of their off-season training. In other words, don't come looking at me. I had nothing to do with this." He goes on to say, "Here at our facility, we take a natural, holistic, appropriate, and above all, legal approach to training and recovery for all of our clients. And anyone who would suggest otherwise is irresponsible and just plain wrong." Yikes. Is Alex Guerrero fearing the... Alex, we need to talk to you about Julian Edelman's failed drug test for PED. Did he get it from you? Huh? Tell me, did he get it from you? So Alex Guerrero's feeling the heat a little bit here, isn't he?
Yeah, and you wonder why Bill Belichick said, "Get this guy out of here. I don't want this guy in my facility."
Who was the dude that hooked up A-Rod with all the steroids?
Oh, I forgot.
Was it Belko?
Balco.
So Guerrero is saying, "I am not Edelman's Balco, okay?" He is. He's like, "Don't come snooping in me."
I don't know.
Snooping, I got a little wound up right
snooping
there.
Snooping in him would be really,
really
weird.
I don't even
weird.
Know what that means. It's not a verb. It's actually a cartoon.
Come here,
character.
Guerrero. We're going to give you a full cavity search to see if there's any steroids in there.
We're
going to
give you a full cavity snoop right now.
Victor Conti.
Drop him.
Conti was the guy. Balco
Conti.
Was.
Conti. Yes.
Not Mike Conti.
No, that was Barry Bonds, wasn't it? Wasn't Barry Bonds Balco? Yes. And then Conti was the A-Rod guy, right?
Victor Conti with an E.
How, like, pardon the pun here, how dope was that 60 Minutes interview? Right? Did you see it with Conti?
I remember it,
like,
yeah.
Like, totally ratting out A-Rod and describing the whole thing. That it was fascinating. Like, he took us inside A-Rod's cheating. And now everybody on planet Earth loves A-Rod. Have you noticed that?
I don't.
You
not
don't?
I'm not an A-Rod guy at all. Get off our turnover chain. I don't need you wearing that. Leave J-Lo there. That's
Come
fine.
Come on, man. He helped your Yankees win a championship. One.
I don't like that guy.
I used to always say he was the Peyton Manning of baseball before he got his ring.
He is not my guy.
Okay. But like, he's a hot commodity right now.
You know,
everybody loves A-Rod.
You know who apparently wasn't Jarvis Landry's guy as we continue an NFL bounce? Ryan Tannehill.
Shocking.
Did you see what he said? He said, "All the Browns QBs are a lot better than what I played with in Miami. Ty Scrub Taylor, a rookie, and Baker Mayfield." Who else do they have?
Drew Stanton.
Wherever the hell he is.
Yeah, yeah, second stringer, Drew Stanton.
So you're talking about Ryan Tannehill. What other crap? Jay Cutler. Okay, you are right. They're all better than Jay Cutler. That's an indictment of Ryan Tannehill.
You think? He threw him under the bus and then went, and backed over him, too, and then ran him over again. He was roadkill after Jarvis Landry was done with him.
It was...
And is he wrong?
No. And
not
that's
really
why
that
I said
wrong.
The Dolphins should have drafted a quarterback at number 11.
And shout out to Duke Johnson. I told you he was going to get paid.
The Duke of Coral Gables. 3 years, $15 million, $5 million signing bonus. Carlos Hyde, enjoy your 1 year in Cleveland because you will be cut. Preacher Man coming up next with From the Bible.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at our Twitter, at Rick and John 929, because a guy had tweeted at us, Clayton Fandry, asking why we had not put Reggie Wayne on there. And apparently Reggie Wayne had responded to him. So now
really?
Reggie Wayne is in our Twitter feed. Sorry.
Reggie Wayne, come on the show. We love you, bro. What
so a female football player demands a penalty for what?
I saw this and I love it. This is right up Rick's alley next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Days get so long and I've got nothing to do.
I've been hanging around this town. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, it's the Preacher Man segment, but it's really his show because we are diving into his iPod today. Now, we did it for John, then we did it for me, then we did it for Mark Owens, and it lasted like 3 days. But that's fine. He's the president and a little selfish. But now it's the Preacher Man's day to dive into his iPod, and we have heard everything from El DeBarge to the Foo Fighters to, was that a Counting Crows song we just heard a minute ago? Yeah. I mean, it's all, and I want to say this. We debated who has the most diverse iPod among us four. There is no debate. It is the Preacher Man by far. Who else has El DeBarge and, like, Whitesnake in their iPod? I mean, you might be the only person on Earth that has that combo.
I mean, I have El DeBarge and Nirvana.
That's a pretty diverse combo as well.
I do not have Whitesnake.
I don't see you as a Whitesnake kind of guy.
No, not really me.
All right, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. As always, and From the Bible, we like to do follow-up stories. Apparently, remember the Leonard Dykstra Uber driver incident that happened not too long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, looks like they both could be at fault. You know, Lenny was claiming that the Uber driver had kidnapped him.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Lenny was trying to call 911 from the back seat. The Uber driver was going nuts, driving 100 miles an hour, whatever. Ended up in front of a police station where Lenny was subsequently arrested. Now, apparently, after cops investigated and according to court documents, the driver has been hit with one count of false imprisonment. So it looks like they're both going to be charged. Dykstra's charges are still standing. So it seems like this is an ongoing case.
Oh, let me ask you, what are Dykstra's charges? Do you know that?
Yeah,
did he rough up the dude?
No, he never put hands on him. The driver said that Dykstra claimed to have a gun and used the word bomb. And I think he said he was going to physically put hands on him, but he never actually touched him.
I got Lenny Dykstra's back in this one. All right, John, how about you? I don't think charges should be. And by the way, John, if you're the Uber driver and I'm in the back,
mm-hmm.
and you're messing with me and you're making me feel uncomfortable and unsafe,
yep.
and then I think I'm being kidnapped or whatever, I'm calling 911, and then maybe I do something that runs afoul of the law in a self-defense kind of way.
Right.
You started the situation.
Yep.
You're the one that put me in peril.
Yep.
I'm just trying to protect myself. I got Lenny Dykstra's back.
You know, the same thing happened to me last night. I was taking a Lyft ride home, went and met some buddies up at the Battery, had some drinks. I don't have two beers and drive, right? Not in Cobb County. So halfway back to my house, and I'm only 5 miles from the Battery, my Lyft driver, he goes, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. My phone battery just died."
What?
He said, "You're going to have to guide me back to your house." I've never had that happen before. I was actually more concerned about how am I going to end the ride, because isn't it normally the driver's job to say, ride, you know, finish, ride completed, here's how much you owe. But luckily, by the time I got home, I got him back to where we needed to go, to my place. But I was sitting there thinking, there's a part of me that, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I read too much. I go, is something going on here where you can't track where he's at, and there's something going on here where you can't follow us because his phone's dead and we don't know where you are on the trip right now? I mean, obviously everything turned out fine, but you
thank
still
God
gotta,
you're here. Thank God
gotta,
you made it.
I know, right? If not me, it'd be BG in here.
Who would it be in here?
Probably BG or Jarvis or
baby. Wouldn't be Craig because Craig's on vacation again.
Again.
Yeah.
Valentino.
Valentino's out there just living it up in California.
Man's got more time off than anybody I've ever met next to
And
Mark
a lot
Owen.
Of frequent flyer miles, apparently. I'm jealous.
His bank account is a lot bigger than he leads on. I can tell you that right now. He's picking up the tab next time we go out. All right, so with all the burner accounts and everything like that, you knew it was coming. Online bookmaker has given the best odds as to which NBA player will have a burner account.
Uh-oh. Who's ready? Got the best odds?
The best odds go to
J.R. Smith?
He's second.
Oh, he's in the list.
He's second. Anybody else want to guess?
Let me think. Who messed with Tristan Thompson? He's got to be one.
No.
Who else?
LeBron.
No.
I only copied the first top five.
Durant.
No.
He's
because
already
Durant's
had
already been alleged to have a burner account, so he wasn't on the list. All right. Number one, Lonzo Ball plus 2,000.
Ah, okay.
Number two, J.R. Smith plus 4,000.
Okay.
Rajon Rondo plus 6.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's
not
for the
bad.
Win. No, for the win. That's the one right there. He is as shady and petty as any player.
Wow.
He is. I love Rondo, but he's shady and petty.
DeMarcus Cousins plus 7.
That's a good one.
And then Kyrie Irving plus 7 also. Now, there were some more, but I didn't get the whole list.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, I would add
my money's on Rondo.
I would add Tristan Thompson higher, only so he could keep the Thotourage going. Because after what we found out about him, and apparently Tinashe, who's now just running around with Blake Griffin, she got dumped and moved right on to the next one. I wouldn't be surprised if Tristan has a burner or two.
Do you think Tristan goons it up with Draymond Green tonight? Like hockey, late in the game, it's 4-1, and you just start pushing and shoving and fighting and trying to drag the other team down with you.
Tristan don't want and neither does Kendrick Perkins, who keeps running his mouth. Golden State don't want these press. Sit over there in your suit and collect your check and be quiet, please.
He ain't getting a ring, though.
No, he is not. Does he have a ring?
He does, Boston.
Yeah, he got one. Because he didn't get one in OKC.
Nope.
He cried out of that. When they walked off, they showed him and Durant and Russell.
I don't know if y'all saw this, but apparently the New York Mets have put the future in the hands of Biff Tannen's son. Did y'all know that?
Biff Tannen?
Yeah, the actor, actually, his name's Tom Wilson.
Okay.
His son played for Cal State Fullerton.
Okay.
And was drafted in the 19th round of the MLB draft. Apparently, he was 6-0 with a 2.83 ERA in 12 starts this season.
You know why they went ahead and drafted his son? They took the flux capacitor and the DeLorean, and they went to the future and saw that he's a star.
Yeah, but you got to look at it this way. You can't go against his dad's track record because he was 0-3 against Marty McFly.
That is true. Marty McFly kicked his rear end. That family, the Tannen family, never had any success against Marty McFly and Doc. Which, by the way, the first one was on the other day. And we got to do this slice of life next week, Mark. Write this one down. Our Mount Rushmore of 80s movies, because Back to the Future is on there.
That's a good one.
The first one is on there.
Didn't we have another one, favorite movie scenes of all time?
That's coming up,
go ahead and go ahead and put that one in there
one day
as well.
Next week.
Slice of life.
All right, so this is for you, Ricky. And I actually got this from Squid Billy because he was hollering at Randy Mack yesterday on Twitter.
How did he sound when he was hollering at him?
I don't know because it was on Twitter. You can do it much better than I can.
Really angry.
I really kind of want to hear you do a Paul
Morgan. Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. One impersonation today. We need it.
Nope.
Go for it.
All right, so a female football player got her boob straight up yanked during an LFL game and was heated. Apparently, this happened May 11th between the Chicago Bliss and the Los Angeles Temptation. Apparently, the Bliss safety, Allie Alberts, had her boob held while trying to make a tackle. So she went to make her complaint to the ref. Hey, did you not see her grab my boob? Did you not see her grab my boob?
Sexy.
Did you not see it out?
Sexier.
The ref tried to explain the difficulty of making such a call when she blatantly asked, could you not see my boob? His reaction apparently is priceless, but no flag throw.
Whose boob was out more, hers or the girl that was on the glass at the Washington Capitals Vegas Knights game last night? As the
Vegas
cup was being skated around, she just went full frontal.
Are you serious?
And put him on the glass like she was Sir Mix-a-Lot.
How did you miss that?
You didn't see that, Rick? I thought people would have seen that. It's Rick
Kamla. I'm really bummed out right now.
I mean, you can Google it.
So that game was on NBC, like big NBC, not CSNBC and all that crap. It was on NBC.
Yeah, big network.
So were live naked boobs on NBC last night?
Were they
able to mosaic it out?
It's kind of hard to miss. There's no way of blocking that out.
Just Google it real quick. Go to Google.
I got two things to Google. I got three things to Google because we're going to get the research material here in a second. What is it? The LLFL? What is it?
Lingerie football.
LFL.
Just LFL.
But that's not what you're supposed to be Googling. You're supposed to be Googling Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I want to see the LFL wardrobe malfunction as well, the nip slip.
All right, so today's research material, we're just going to go, we're going to make it easy for Rick because this actually...
He is completely lost for the day.
I know, who cares? Billionaires and babes. Billionaires and babes.
Yonaires and babes.
You know what this sounds like? A gold digging site. Billionaires and babes.
Here it is. Let's see. The initial reaction is positive, Preacher Man.
You know how I get Rick Kamla back next? To get him off all this material he's going to be researching. It's called the NBA Fast Break,
what?
Rick.
Huh?
Come back with me.
I'm distracted.
Come with me. We're going to talk about, is tonight the last night that LeBron James ever plays for the Cavaliers? That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's our main focus, game four. So games 1 and 3, you know, we have a chance to win. We're right in the game. We know we can beat this team, and we just got to have the confidence to do that. We got to be better in some areas that we, you know, have some breakdowns in. But, you know, our focus is not on, you know, winning four. Our focus is winning game four.
That is Tyronn Lue, head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and T. Lou, Coach Lou. My boy, Blue. No, I mean, my boy, Lou. You're going down tonight.
Yeah, it's over.
I think this is the last game. And I love me some Tyronn Lue. I really do. He's a tremendous guy. I've said that again and again and again. This is probably the end of his Cavaliers coaching career.
You think so?
He had health issues this year. Do you think he's been to the finals all 3 years as head coach of the Cavaliers? Mm-hmm. Do you think he wants to watch LeBron James walk and maybe watch Kevin Love be traded away and the complete rebuild? I'm not sure that Tyronn Lue signed up for that. Now, I may be completely wrong right now, but it would not surprise me if Tyronn Lue was like, yo, I'm good on this job here in Cleveland. But I do believe this will be LeBron James' last game in a Cavalier uniform.
I keep saying that I think he'll stay in Cleveland. Your intel yesterday says differently. A lot of the reports out there say differently. We'll see what happens. I do think they lose tonight, so the offseason begins in earnest tomorrow. He can start figuring out what he wants to do. I truly anticipate a couple of weeks of LeBron being off the grid, go hang out somewhere in the Caribbean or go do whatever you need to do to kind of hide. Maybe he's on the banana boat. Lord knows Chris Paul, the hamstring's probably better now, so he can be on the back doing this. Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union, they're doing their things via Instagram and whatnot. So you may see that, and Carmelo Anthony's been done for quite some time. So maybe those guys go out and hang out. Maybe they decide how to put things together.
You know what's going to happen, though? LeBron James is going to leak through Brian Windhorst or Woj some information. Because LeBron James, and I don't even say this cynically, it's just true. He likes dominating the news cycle. Like, if that kind of blows you away, like, if that's a hot take for you, you need to pay a little bit closer attention. Because why do you think LeBron James continues to do the 1+1? A, it's because he doesn't trust or particularly like Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert, and he wants to give himself the escape hatch. But it also is every summer, John, we're back to the same thing, right? Where's LeBron going?
Right.
So it's a twofold thing. Trust me, don't sleep on LeBron James, like, not wanting the spotlight. Trust me, he wants the spotlight at all times. So that's a part of it, too.
It is, and LeBron James will have that spotlight
no question.
Again.
And it'll be even brighter this offseason because he's actually going to leave Cleveland. Like, we haven't thought that the last three or four offseasons.
What about Kevin Durant? Could he put a monkey wrench in all of this if he decides, hey, contract's up, I want to be a free agent too? Now you've got a younger version and the older version in LeBron James.
No question about it, John. But he has said, or it's been reported, that he's going to take a reduced deal, a hometown discount, so to speak, to stay at Golden State and continue to accumulate the rings. You're going to find this fascinating. I'm doing the show called the NBA Finals Film Room on NBA TV.
Right.
So tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on NBA TV, Game 4's Final Film Room will run. We put a live play-by-play on the game as the game is going on. But I asked the guys, David Griffin and Brendan Haywood and Mike Fratello, after Game 3, would the Golden State Warriors be a dynasty if they did not pick up Kevin Durant?
Ooh.
And they said, no, it would not. Think about it. Like, they have stacked the deck to the point where it's borderline unfair. If you don't have Kevin Durant and you have Harrison Barnes, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green, that is a beatable four.
Right.
It's a formidable four. And they're probably like a finals team every year. But Kevin Durant, you know this, John. Everybody listening knows this. Is so much better than Harrison Barnes. It's not even an apples to apples. It's all-time great to non-all-star.
Right.
So, I mean, so you see what I'm saying? They have stacked the deck with the Kevin Durant
kid. In fairness, they won 73 games with Harrison Barnes as a starter. And if Draymond Green doesn't punch LeBron James in the cods or flick him or whatever he did, they're back-to-back right there and truly believe they'd be back in the NBA Finals. I don't think with Harrison Barnes this year, though, they would have beaten the Houston Rockets even without Chris Paul.
I agree with you. But let's go back to the first championship for Golden State. And let's remember that Kevin Love wasn't in that series because Kelly Olynyk yanked his arm out of the socket. And Kyrie Irving broke his kneecap in a collision with Klay Thompson in Game 1. If they got Love and Kyrie, I think Cleveland might have won that first ring. And then you say, you know, Golden State with Bogut getting hurt and Draymond getting suspended, and then Cleveland won that next one, and the Golden State says, well, if that stuff doesn't happen. Trust me, you talk to David Griffin, you talk to LeBron, you talk to anybody with the Cavs, and they immediately point to, what about us? We didn't have Kyrie or Love, right?
Well, that's what David Griffin said the other day to me.
Yes.
Because I was like, well, you won that one, and you the Draymond Green. He goes, wait a second, we didn't have Kyrie or Love. And
I know,
Boston didn't have Kyrie this year. So, you know, that could have changed things.
You think? I mean, with Hayward and Irving, they beat the Cavs this year.
Was it Kyrie that said the other day that Cleveland would be up 3-0 if he was still? Or somebody said that.
I missed that.
Somebody said that Cleveland would be up 3-0 if Kyrie was on the team.
I do not agree with that. Now, if Kyrie were a Cavalier right now, John, it'd be 2-1, right, going into tonight's game, and, like, the entire world would be waiting with bated breath to see what's up. And it would probably be 2-2 going a seven-game series.
It was an unnamed Cavaliers veteran, per The Athletic's Jason Lloyd, an unnamed vet, said no doubt they would be up 3-0 against Golden State if Irving were still on the team.
But that sounds like a Kendrick Perkins quote right there, does it not?
Yeah.
And he wasn't even there with Kyrie.
He said whether it was the absence or Iggy or the contentment of winning a championship last year, they say something seems different about this Golden State team.
What, in a bad way?
Yeah, like I think throughout the playoffs, and they're going to win another NBA championship at 3 out of 4, they have been really coasty in points. Like, their third quarters have carried them for a lot of the playoffs this year.
And it's because they're that confident, man. Right? We had a bad quarter. We had a bad half. So what? We'll outscore you 35-21 in the third quarter, you know, plus 14, and we'll take a 5-point lead, and then we'll beat you in the fourth. Because they know they're that good. I mean, it's like going back to the whole flip the switch thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We always talk about that. This team, it has the ability to just flip that switch. And some teams, like, mess around, and they're inconsistent, and they go to flip that switch, and the switch don't work. With these Warriors, mm-hmm. they can flip that switch. They're one of those teams.
Okay, and they have, and they've done exactly that. And again, think about the games. Game 4 against Houston, coasty. You've got that game in the bag, up 12, and you coast and take bad shots in the fourth quarter. Game 5, I thought, coasty. Had chances in the fourth quarter to put away, didn't do it. The start of game 6 against Houston, they were getting blown out, and then all of a sudden they realized, oh, crap, our season's about to be over. It seems like it takes pushing them to the brink before they've turned it on, and I can see where this quote has some merit. They don't seem like the same team as a year ago.
They are, I don't even want to use the word vulnerable, but they are more vulnerable mm-hmm. this year than they have been, and we have to remember, Andre Iguodala got hurt. The last time he played was game 3 mm-hmm. of the Rockets' West Finals right. series. The series changed in game 4.
It did.
The very next game that Iguodala was out, and we saw how important Iguodala is
sure.
in about 22 minutes of game 3. He was very
Boy,
important in that
he
game.
He looked like he was dragging that leg. Because he had to go to the back and get some therapy during a break. He looked like he was dragging that leg up
did
and
Did you
down
like
the
that
court.
Behind-the-back pass to Clay,
oh,
though,
nasty.
In the corner?
Nasty. Super nasty.
And Kevin Durant has said about the hometown discount that he's staying. So, John, you don't think Kevin Durant's leaving, right? Like, I don't. I'm 100% certain that Kevin Durant will be a Warrior next year. Are you?
No.
Really?
I'm not. There's something with this, and maybe it's this day and age of players. He's now got back-to-back titles. What does he have left to prove? Like, going to Golden State was for one reason. It was to get a ring. What does he have to prove in Golden State right now? Oh, that you're better than Steph? Okay, I think we all know that, although I think at times Steph is more important to Golden State than Kevin Durant is. Kevin Durant has been in the last game. Steph was more important in the game previous. My point to that is these guys in this day and age sometimes need something to go after. And I think for Kevin Durant, maybe it becomes, can I win one on my own now?
Interesting thought. What I know about Kevin Durant, and I want to make a Finals MVP point here in a minute. What I know about Kevin Durant is that he's a super laid-back, humble, low-key guy. He's not a spotlight guy, is he, John?
No, he doesn't seem to be.
He's not. I know this, but I just wanted to get your perception. We don't see him on TMZ all the time. We don't see – he's a quiet, kind of stay-at-home dude. And so I don't see him wanting to go – take on that pressure, take on that load, that burden, that spotlight. I think he's perfectly fine sharing the spotlight. He's not one of these me guys. He's a superstar, mm-hmm. but he's not a diva superstar. He's a laid-back, humble, kick-butt dude. Love me some Kevin Durant. And with his performance in Game 3, he usurped Finals MVP from Stephen Curry.
Right.
Steph Curry was 3 of 16, 3 of 15. I don't have the box score in front of me right now.
And the 3 that he hits is with like 2 minutes left after
was
he was old.
One.
That was huge.
It was a huge shot. Durant said it was the biggest shot in the game. But Kevin Durant has gone 26, 26, 43.
Mm-hmm.
Steph had 2 magnificent first games, set an NBA Finals record with 9 threes in Game 2, but had a woeful Game 3.
Right.
So to me, he booted Finals MVP with that Game 3 performance. If Steph tonight goes for 50, okay, and I think that's pretty much what it's going to take. I think if Steph goes for 50, he'll win Finals MVP, and that terrible game will be washed away.
Can I tell you why I don't all the way?
Otherwise, it'll be Durant.
What's the one game that was really in the balance of the series? The balance of the series was Game 1.
Mm-hmm.
Who carried him in that game?
It was Curry.
Clay and Steph.
Yep.
Durant had a relatively bad 26 sounds
he
great,
did.
But he did not play a great game.
He was 8 of 22 from the field in that game, and then 10 of 14 in Game 2, and then we saw the playoff career high 43 in Game 3.
Mm-hmm. And that, I think right now they're neck and neck.
Okay.
I think KD's probably a hair ahead because people like to think top of the mind where they're at there. But I think Steph still has a very good chance to win this.
I'm gonna put a poll out on my personal Twitter account about that. Going into game four tonight, who's your finals MVP, Steph or KD? I'll put LeBron on there as well. And speaking of that, John, I want you to guess the poll results. Remember I put it out there. You start a franchise today. You got the first pick. Who are you going with, LeBron or Durant? I say Durant. You say LeBron. But what do you think the percentage on my Twitter account is, John?
60-40?
Very close.
Mm-hmm.
Very close. 66% say LeBron James. Okay. 34% say Kevin Durant.
Okay. Hey, let's try to give away $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Mask, M-A-S-K, mask is your code word. You have a chance to text that to 72881.
Wrestlers frequently wear a
mask. Yeah. Look at Rick with the wrestling reference. By the way, wrestling fans, is it confirmed next week, Thursday, in the 1040 segment? Finn Balor, big wrestler, huge guy in the WWE, is going to join the program.
Was that a type of fish? What, Finn Balor? What are we talking about here?
No, and you can actually order that at Oceana. You can get an order of Finn Balor, Demon Finn Balor. But text MASK right now to 72881. That's your code word for the $1,000 National Signing
Bonus. Can I get that
blackened
over at Steamhouse Lounge? Do you ever go to Steamhouse Lounge?
I have not been there.
Oh, my God. That place is good. That place is good. Spondivitz, though.
Oh, I love Spondivitz.
What, literally, is that the best seafood in Atlanta?
It's right there. I love Juicy Crab as well.
I've not been to Juicy Crab.
Spondivitz
is
awesome.
Did
you not eat when Juicy Crab, like, what, six, eight months ago?
Yeah, that was Juicy Crab. Yeah, that was really good.
That was really good. On the John Fricke really scale, it was almost Nebraska losing to Miami four reallys. Like, that's how good it is on the flip side.
But you said Nebraska losing.
Yeah, but he would be like, that's really, 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 really bad. But on the flip side, it was really, really good. Juicy Crab's awesome. Quick text.
Shout out to John Fricke.
404-741-0929. Best seafood in Atlanta. Go.
I think it's Spondivitz.
Spondivitz is right there.
I think it's Spondivitz. I'd put Ocean Air up there as well. Hey, I've been wanting to do this for a couple of days, and it's just it's not that big of a deal. So, but let me bring this up. Coach Bud is a loyal dude.
Right.
Mike Budenholzer, our guy. Okay, we worked with him. Well, we didn't work with him. We did interviews with him for about 3 years. Had a blast with Coach Bud. We appreciate all he did for the Atlanta Hawks. He has brought five of his former assistants with him to Milwaukee, including Taylor Jenkins and my guy, Darvin Ham.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck, Coach Bud. And that's kind of an old boy network type of thing,
right.
And it's a relationship thing. But Coach Bud loves these guys. He won big with these guys, and so – not all the way big, you know what I'm saying? 60 mm-hmm. wins, first seed in the East, all that kind of stuff. So I just think it's a great look. I'm really happy that Coach Bud is bringing those guys up with him.
Now, are we going as the radio partners? Is that what I heard? We're moving to Milwaukee?
No, and again, like, I'm totally good here.
Yeah.
Like, Lloyd Pierce, shout
you're
out,
our
bro.
Guy.
We have hitched our wagon to you, and let's go.
Yeah, it would take a lot of coin for me to go to Milwaukee. I'm talking a lot of coin.
Well,
to be in Milwaukee.
Charity's already put her foot down. She said, we are not going back to Minnesota. Because, you know, I am completely stationary with 92.9 The Game and NBA TV. Thank you, God, for two unbelievable jobs right across the street. I'm good. Like, I'm good. Perfectly content. But she put that out there. Don't even consider a move back to Minnesota. I was like, okay, I won't.
Yeah, the only place I would go from here is south. Maybe Dallas, because Dallas, Texas is pretty awesome. Houston,
Dallas is awesome.
Houston's awesome mm-hmm. as well. That's it. Tampa, South Florida, Atlanta.
We're balling in the air, man.
Now,
can't do any better than this.
If, knock on wood, something happened and my employment ended here at 92.9 The Game, and I'm sure there's hundreds of you out there that would enjoy that.
Stop it.
Okay, maybe tens of you out there that would enjoy that. Then I would go to wherever the heck I could, but if it was just my choices, they're very limited.
If our Atlanta Hawks select Mo Bamba at number three, are you ticked off?
Or are you feeling
the swell of Mo Bamba?
Not if what we got. Who was telling us about Mo Bamba?
David Griffin.
Not if what David Griffin was telling us is true and Mo Bamba has all of a sudden figured out his offensive game.
Well, I agree with you. One last question. Are you mad at DeAndre Ayton for not working out for any team except the Suns who have the number one pick?
No, because he's going number one to the Suns.
Me either. Yeah. Are you mad at him for saying that him and Devin Booker are going to be Kobe and Shaq 2.0?
A little bit. Prove it on the court first. Hey, this hour of the program brought to you by Inspire Medical Systems. We've now gone to the country part of the iPod of Paul Bible. Coming up next, one more round. Is social media the death of sports and life as we know it? That's coming up next.
okay, just the touch of a finger, you can post something or see something. Everybody's, you know, it's like it's the greatest thing ever. A celebrity, then you realize it's actually really bad for you. And as you get older, you realize you're like, I'm going to do what I do. I put all my time into my craft. I give it all that I have, and I live with the results.
LeBron's comments on social media, and social media is going to be on fire tonight, presumably with a celebration in the Bay Area after the Warriors defeat LeBron and the Cavaliers. Now,
I'm like the Cavs. I'm going to get swept.
ooh, the Isaiah Thomas comment from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. That was rather shady. So speaking of social media, okay, I want to, John, grade the three bits of research material that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was the lady at the Stanley Cup Game 5 exposing her top heaviness, or lack thereof, to be honest with you, live on NBC. So there was that. There was the wardrobe malfunction at the LFL game,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the research material that the Preacher Man gave us. And
I'm going to say research material was by far and away number one.
Ding, ding, ding,
hockey
ding, ding.
Was last.
You are correct, my friend. Billionaires and Babes is a stunning follow on Instagram. Actually, number two would be the girl at the hockey game,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, they were out, and that was on NBC live, and nothing they could do about it. And some of the Washington Capitals players were actually pointing at her like, hey, look, she's got her boobs out. And then a third would be the LFL
okay.
incident. So that,
wow,
that'd be
okay.
the ranking.
Yeah, the girl at the hockey game just had no shame whatsoever. I mean, I'm a little shocked her social media hasn't been put out there. And that kind of leads us to our social media discussion.
I have a feeling that right after the hockey game, she was heading to the Spearmint Rhino to spin around a pole. I think that might have been what she does in her free time.
I'm not sure what she does in her free time. Maybe she was there to throw some ones. I'm not really sure. But either way, I'm surprised. Much like the girl from the Padres game, we had her Instagram page pretty much instantly when she caught the ball in a cup and then drank it. It's a little different. Never mind. I was going to go somewhere. Yeah. Social media.
I know. It can get you in trouble if you don't watch it. You got to watch it. The lady that caught the foul ball in the cup, boy, did she go viral. They were talking about her on MLB Network,
yeah.
and she was everywhere for a minute.
She was just one girl, one cup. That's it.
She a nice catch, right? Get a little cup of beer. I'm going to catch a foul ball. All right, but social media, is it too influential in sports and life? And, John, boy, you really hit us hard. You went all Bob Lee outside mm-hmm. the lines on
a little
us before
bit.
The break. Todd, what were you, I heard the word death.
Death.
I was like, whoa. So what were you talking about?
I just said, is it going to be the death of sports and life as we know it?
Boy, I don't know about that.
There are a lot of people that hate social media. They're systematically opposed to social media.
Are any of them below 30 years old?
I don't think so, because people below 30 years old only know how to do this. And if you're watching us at watch929thegame.com, I'm staring intently into my phone. I get yelled at by the wife and my mom and everybody else because I'm on my phone a lot. I'm looking for news. You know, you get the little flash that pops up, a notification, something from ESPN. Uh-oh, what happened? So I do look quite a bit. But I can spend time where I throw it on the nightstand there next to the bed, and I don't pay it any attention. That's why I'll look up, and I'll have 18 texts from you three.
I mean, we text frequently. We got show prep going on.
That's what we
call that now. We don't actually exchange, like, research material.
No.
On our show text. We
no,
don't. Maybe
no.
we should start doing that.
No.
And maybe.
This is a business
right.
text line only.
Okay, all right.
I have other friends.
No, not the text line. Like our text line, like the text line between the four of us.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of the text line, it's Ask Us Something About Anything coming up in about 15 minutes. So you guys can start lining up questions. We'll take a rapid-fire style phone calls on those as well. You ask us questions, we answer them in the best way possible.
John, I got to click off this Billionaire and Babes. I really do. It is just is intoxicating and totally distracting.
Leave like that how? For Carl.
I will. Carl was bummed out the other day. One of the ones that Preacher made, I just couldn't figure out where to find it on Instagram. And Carl was like, where's the research material?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. And then you told him, I found Bay or something.
Oh, yeah, I found Bay. That's an oldie but a goodie. It's like 2 weeks ago.
And then all was right in Carl's world.
Oh, yeah. Carl was like, how do you spell that? I said Bay, B-A-E. Okay, we're good.
I love it. So, look, I do think that social media is too influential in sports and life. I don't think it's way too influential. I just think it's a little bit too influential in terms of getting a guy like Brian Colangelo. You know, they mutually parted ways. He quote unquote resigned. I'm using air quotes. But to me, this is Philadelphia, the 76ers saying to Brian Colangelo, you've created a terrible look. I don't even know if it's a terrible look. You've created a bad look for our team, and you're gone. And it's that simple. This feels witch huntish to me. Mm-hmm. It really does, because they have not been able to connect the dots back to Brian Colangelo. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. They haven't been able to connect the dots even back to his wife, who allegedly had the burner accounts that sent out the negative tweets about 76ers players.
I think the problem when you get to this is the fact that there was some sort of classified information or stuff that only somebody inside Philadelphia would know about. Like talking about players, things that they did. It was just, it was fishy, and that's the problem.
And look, it is, man. It is. And I'm not like outraged that Brian Colangelo is out of a job. I just feel like social media and sort of the avalanche that gets created, like mm-hmm. once there's a problem, it's like everybody wants to gang up on that guy or girl and get him out. Like we talk about. And now everybody's going to champion Brian Colangelo when his comeback.
Yeah.
When he takes, like, I don't know, I'm just picking it, the Sacramento Kings GM job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian, go. You know, you're getting a second or third chance or whatever. You know, now I'm behind you. Like, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to tear you down and build you back up? Well, why can't, you know, why do we have to tear you down?
I think that's what social media, that's part of the problem with social media is everybody immediately wants to tear something down. A team can win a national championship or a team can win a championship. Well, they're not as good as this team from the past. Who cares? They just won a championship.
Or, like, your team, boy, you didn't go to that college. Why are you cheering for? Why does this matter to you, right? And just kind of trying to throw shade on your party.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happens. And that's where I say it can be the death of sport. And it's sort of been the death of mainstream media the way that we know it. Think about print media. Print media is dead. Guys, and we love Jeff Schultz and D-Led, Vaughn McClure, guys like that. You know what they have to do? They have to get stuff out digitally. Getting something for tomorrow's 5 a.m. delivery of the AJC doesn't matter anymore. There were thousands of people that have lost their jobs that were print media guys because they maybe didn't work as quickly into the digital age the way that it is today. We're being told all the time, fresh content, new content. If you go to 929thegame.com, it's always something new up there, day in and day out, because if 2 days later, what you talked about 2 days ago doesn't matter. So that's where, you know, you've seen the change. I think the problem for me more than anything with social media, and I use it, I love what it does for you as far as a news cycle goes and the immediateness of getting stuff. My problem is, people immediately jump to conclusions too fast about anything. Somebody can be alleged to have done something, and they're guilty before an hour passes because when one social media or one Twitter tweet goes viral, everybody jumps on it. And whether they've done something or not, they're guilty. And then they've got to fight their way back to innocence.
John, let's talk Atlanta United for a second here. They're very active on social media. Great follow, by the way. So are the Braves. So are the Falcons. They all do a great job putting cool stuff out for you. But in the first game against New York City FC, who is behind, you know, unusual suspect, so to speak, in terms mm-hmm. of scoring our goals, but we tied with this team. This is a monster game in MLS. Mm-hmm. If our guys can win, we are +5 in terms of points over New York City FC. If they win, they leapfrog us, and they have a 1-point lead atop the East table.
At minimum, you have to go up there and get 1 point. At minimum, you got to come out of there with a draw, much like they did coming down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium earlier on this year. If you can come out of there with 3, I'd argue that that'll be the biggest win of the year for Atlanta United.
I agree. Especially because they 2-2'd you down here.
Right.
And so you feel like, you know, you should have gotten. Didn't New York City FC score a late goal?
They did.
To tie that game. Mm-hmm. I think I remember Conte and Longshore being kind of bummed out about the result.
Yeah,
like they
felt
like it was going to be a win, and then they got a late goal, and it turned into a tie.
We were up 1-0, then it was 1-1. We were up 2-1, and then late they scored mm-hmm. to make it 2-2.
Not cool.
Nah.
Not cool.
Gotta get this win.
It's going to be a boxy Yankee Stadium up there. And John can speak to this, and I want you to, as a Yankee fan, I want you to speak to this. But you know this. When the Yankees are at home for a weekend series, they play at 1 o'clock every single time on Saturday.
Yeah, it seems that way.
It is a day game every single time. Now, if it's the Red Sox, it might be a 4 o'clock start
sure.
to fit into a Fox window, but they love their day sports in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks at Madison Square Garden, indoors obviously, play a lot of nooners and ones at Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
They're one of the only teams in the NBA that just loves those day games. Do you agree with me that there's a trend? So that's why this game is at 12:30. It just seems to me that the New York sports teams like the day games on right. the weekend, and you would know more than me.
Yeah, well, the Yankees have been doing that for a long time, and I think the Mets play pretty early as well. And I don't know if that's a traffic issue, it's a travel issue, whatever it may be, but they do that. And that could be why it's a 12:30 start. I wonder if that makes it a sleepy start for Atlanta United.
Interesting.
Because they've been playing some later games.
So I'm not going to be able to watch the game live. I'll be doing sporty things with my boys who arrive in town at 7:30 tonight. Can't wait to see them and spend the next six
That's
weeks
awesome.
With them. Hopefully we'll have some funny stories to tell you guys about it. But tomorrow night, probably off DVR, I'll be watching Atlanta United. And hopefully it's a win. And like I said, if you know me, you know, don't be like, hey, what a game, what a win for Atlanta. Right. Just please don't text me until like maybe midnight on Saturday.
Don't go on social media because that'll ruin it for you.
Won't be able to.
This is not ruined unless you go to iTunes right now, and it's a ruiny section of the week. It's called The Week in Review.
The hard-nosed John Michaels, ladies and gentlemen.
You could clearly tell he had been poked pretty hard by Draymond Green.
And they've been choking and choking and choking and blowing it and choking.
I mean, balls hit me right, and it's...
You feel like you're indoors, but you're outdoors, and you've got a big window to the sky and to the heavens and all that, but it was gorgeous, man.
Oh, my God, is that an outside nightclub?
No way, that's your idea.
Pull over, let's check it out.
Dansby, the star from Vandy.
Let's do it with the Preacher Man.
Hey, coming up next in Read Between Lines, we have more from Sark talking about Julio. The biggest online lies, age, hate, height, weight, and income.
What was that first one?
Hige.
I think it was Hige.
Yeah, I think you said Hige.
It was Hige, right?
Everybody all right today?
Go back and pull that.
Jeez.
One of the nicknames we have for Craig Carlos Valentino, because he comes out and dances constantly, is Senior Tango.
Did you just nickname. Called him Valentino.
Valentino. Did I call him Valentino?
Yeah.
Valentino.
Well, I like that.
Jason, at Top Golf, do you think you should be wearing full golf attire like Tiger Weeds?
Well, then I just grab my iPhone and I go to WellsFargo.com and I put in my information and I look and I'm rich. I'm good.
I want that little dilly wicker where you don't have to do the touchy toilet paper thing. It just rolls it out on its own. I'm going to tell you, I just got to get me one of them dilly wickers.
Put another blooming onion on the Bobby.
No better yeah than this yeah.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank goodness we're never going to do Australian accents again. Like, that is officially dead.
Funnier reference, Dilly Wicker or Fart Knocker? Go!
Dilly Wicker.
Shout out to Jeremiah.
Because that came completely out of left.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.